I have thoroughly enjoyed myself during the time of fellowship and the preaching that's gone before. But I stand in need of your prayers in a very special way this time. I'd like to relate to you an experience in requesting your prayers for me. I will trust never forget an experience that happened several years ago. I happened to be at a meeting and Elder A.D. Wood was preaching and he related an experience. His experience was that his mother had gone with him on most of his preaching trips and that his mother happened to be his best and worst critic and that he was always anxious to know what his mother thought about his preaching. And as they had been to meeting and they were going back home and they were almost back home and mother hadn't said a word. And he just was about to die. He said, "Mother, what did you think about my preaching?" And she said, "Well, son, I'll tell you." She said, "What you said was good. What you said was true. But you sure could have used some gravy on it." Now, I say that in all sincerity. Folks, I can't furnish the gravy. Neither can you. But there's a God in heaven that can turn water into wine. He can make the lame to walk. He can make even a dumb ass to speak. And he can certainly bless his people today just as much as he has in the past. And I ask you to pray to the God that can do all that. He would grant us a little time of fellowship with him this morning. I'd like to speak to you this morning for a while about a subject that I've wrestled with for many years. And this is one of those subjects that I wound up meeting myself coming back. Now, some of you may never had that experience, but I have a few times. Just when I thought I got it in place, it came unfixed. And I had to go back again. And it may still be that way, but I take comfort in it at this point in time, even if it is that way. I want to speak to you today about the order of Melchizedek. I did not say I want to preach to you about Melchizedek. I said I want to speak to you about the order of Melchizedek. You say, well, is there a difference? There's a huge difference. There's a huge difference. And of the many and various subjects, and this is an interesting subject, there is less said about Melchizedek than probably almost any other character in Scripture, and yet there's more arguments and discussions about who in the world this character was than almost any other character in Scripture. So my intention is not to stir up controversy about who Melchizedek was, but I want to speak to you about the order of Melchizedek. Now, because that is my subject, it is mandatory that we at least look at this Melchizedek momentarily. And I say that momentarily only for the purpose of letting you know how that this character is brought forth. In the book of Genesis, this Old Testament character, Abram, that we know about, had a nephew by the name of Lot. The time had come that the herdman of Lot and the herdman of Abraham had a strife between them. And when Abraham told Lot, he said, "Look whichever way you want to go. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right." And Lot looked toward the plains of Jordan, saw that it was well watered, and he went there. But we're just a short time later, there's a war that goes on, four kings against five. And Lot is carried away captive. Lot and his family and all their goods. And there is one that escapes of that situation, and he goes and tells Abram the Hebrew what has happened. Now, watch this very carefully. We as God's children upon this earth, whether or not we realize it, whether or not we're willing to acknowledge it, we are at war every day. Now, that war begins right here. That war begins right here. And folks, I got news for you. If you lose that war here, you don't send a prayer out there. Okay? When Paul said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, he's not talking about how I get along with Brother Don. He's talking about how I get along with me. Okay? Do I have myself in subjection? Now, hear me carefully. We look at this situation that Abram, when he hears of this, he has 318 hired servants in his house. Now, Abram is not a man of war, but he's not afraid to go to war. He's not afraid to go to war. Ask you a question. Why wasn't he afraid to go to war? Why wasn't he afraid to go to war? He knew how marvelously God had dealt with him, and he did not go in his own strength. He went in the strength of God Almighty. He was ready to go to war because he trusted in the God of all glory. Now, he goes out, and he has 318. By the way, when I look at this situation, there's a lot of lessons for you and I, and that is that if I had only myself and 318, I'm going to keep them all together. But Abram didn't do that. Abram divided them. And they surround the camp. Now here's my point. They get the victory. They carry all the spoils back, including Lot and his family. And when they come back, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here's a character who appears on the scene. His name is Melchizedek. We've not heard a thing in the world about him before, but he is king of Salem, he's king of righteousness, he's king of peace, and he's priest of the Most High God. And he meets Abram. You know what he does? He brings Abram bread and wine. Bread and wine. I want to mention at this point in time, lest I forget it, that just happens to be the two elements that we use in our communion service today. And I don't think that's just an accident. No, sir. Now, hear me carefully. When he met him, he blessed Abram. And he said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth." And Abram had lifted up his hand to God. Now, the point I want you to recognize is the battle that we fight every day is one that we need to lift up our hand to Almighty God, that God would help us live our life right this day. Now, Abram meets this character, and he pays him a tenth of the spoils. Now, by the way, this happened to be before the law. Okay. The text says he paid him tithes. Okay. Now, let's continue with this situation. He gave him bread and wine. And the king of Sodom says, "Abram, just take it all." You know what Abram said? He said, "I won't take so much as a thread or a shoe latchet, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich." Why do you suppose he wouldn't take it? After all, it was the spoils of the victory that he gained, because he wanted God to have the glory. He wanted the whole world to know that the wealth he had, God gave it to him. Now, this Melchizedek meets him. Now, this Melchizedek is an interesting character, but again, my subject is not Melchizedek. My subject is the order of Melchizedek. Although this character is mentioned, he's mentioned in Scripture very few times. He's mentioned right here in Genesis chapter 14. The other place that we're going to encounter him is in Psalms 110. In Psalms 110, we're going to find him again. In Psalms 110, we're going to find in prophetic language, "The Lord hath sworn in truth and will not repent. Thou art forever a priest after the order of Melchizedek." after the order of Melchizedek. Now, how long is forever? How long is forever? Go with me to Psalms 90. Psalms 90 says, from everlasting to everlasting, behold, thou art God. That's forever. That's forever. Now, I won't take the time, and I could take the time and let you have several hard laughs about the idiocy of this guy when he tried to figure out this character and this order of Melchizedek. The point I want you to recognize is, this is a very important thing when he said, thou art forever a priest after the order of Melchizedek. I want to deal with something real quickly right here before we go to the book of Hebrews, the other place that this character is mentioned. There are many of the Lord's people, and I myself fell into that category for a while, where I felt that this had to be a theophany. And you say, well, what in the world does that mean, Brother Ed? That means a pre-incarnate appearance of God in the flesh. This is not a theophany. Okay? Now, you say, well, could you give me an illustration of what you're talking about? I'll be glad to do so. In Genesis chapter 18, when Abram is in the door of his tent in the plains of Mamre, and the Lord appeared to him, he appears as three men. I know it was the Lord who appeared to him, because I find that two of those individuals left and went to Sodom, and the Lord remained and communed with Abram and said, shall I hide from Abram my servant that which I'm about to do? That was God manifested in a visible form as he communed with Abram. Now, hear me carefully. This Melchizedek was not that. This Melchizedek was a man. Okay, now, another point in the situation. Brother Mike's already mentioned those three Hebrew children. When those three Hebrew children were thrown into that fiery furnace, and the old king, and that king was furnace, that furnace was heated seven times hotter than necessary. It was heated so hot that the men who threw them in the fire were killed. And the old king looks into that fire. I'm telling you, your mind and mine does not have the ability to comprehend how great our God is. And then we see the old king looks in that furnace, and he said, behold, did not we cast in three? And behold, I see four. And the fourth is like unto the Son of God. As far as I'm concerned, the Son of God was in that furnace with them. And I say to you in all sincerity, God is always able. You see, when we talk about God, God is a spirit. And he cannot be seen or touched as you and I can see. But I want you to recognize he is real. You may not be able to see him with these eyes. You may not be able to hear him with these ears. But I'm telling you that he is more real than this pulpit that I'm pounding on. He is from everlasting to everlasting. And he said, thou art a priest. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. What are priests for? What are priests for? Priests are for making sacrifice. Priests are for making sacrifice. Why are priests making sacrifice? They're making sacrifice for men, for the sins of men, to as a mediator between God and man. Okay? Now, I want to continue, and let's move over to the book of Hebrews. We get to the book of Hebrews and look at this situation, because in the book of Hebrews, we're going to start in chapter 4. The book of Hebrews, chapter 4. In chapter 4, the book of Hebrews, let's go to chapter 5. Chapter 5, he's going to tell us some things that are very important right here. He says, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought also, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself. But he that is called of God, as was Aaron. He that is called of God, as was Aaron. Question mark. Did Aaron volunteer to be made a priest? If you think he did, you're crazy. But he was called of God. He was called of God. I'm going to say to you, Melchizedek was called of God. Okay? Now, Melchizedek was called of God. Aaron was called of God. Listen to what the next verse says. He said, so also, just like that, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, here's your text, Brother Randy, but him that said unto him, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. I rejoice every time I think about that text. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 13 says, I want you to know that text was fulfilled when he raised him from the dead. Well, I better leave that rabbit alone. The point I want you to recognize was, I'm going to say to you that this Melchizedek we're taught, this, the Lord Jesus Christ was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now I want to drive a few more nails in that coffin about the fact that this was a man. This was not a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Now. And he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ now, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Do you mean to tell me that there is a conflict between God the Father and God the Son? That there's a fear there? Listen to me. We're talking about, when you deal with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, you better make a distinction between the eternal Son of God and the Son of Mary. If you do not recognize there are two individuals dwelling in one body, he's every bit man and he's every bit God. He's just as powerful as God the Father in eternity. Yet as a man, he feared. As a man, he offered prayers unto him that was able to save him from death. He did not pray, hear me carefully, he did not pray to be delivered from dying. He could not destroy death without dying. Okay? It's imperative that he die because he's going to conquer death, hell, and the grave. Okay? Now, we continue to look at this situation. It says, though he were a son. Yes, he was the son. He was the Son of God before he ever left eternity. He was the Son of God when he was in glory with the Father before he ever came to this earth. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Did he learn obedience or did he display obedience? Okay? My point is, he was obedient to the Father in every regard. You can never find where he was ever disobedient to the Father. Okay? Now. And became, and being made perfect. Thank you, Brother Don, for Brother Charles Sandage. Being made to be sin for us. Okay? Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Called of God, called of God, and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. After the order of Melchizedek. And Paul says to these Hebrew brethren, these Jewish brethren, he said, there's a lot of other things I'd like to tell you about him. He said, but I won't do that, seeing you're dull of hearing. He said, you don't want to hear it. It's been my experience, painfully, that many times, and folks, sometimes it's been my problem. I didn't want to hear what the preacher said. Seeing you're dull of hearing. Would to God we could all have the attitude of Cornelius. We're here gathered together to hear whatsoever the Lord would speak to us. Paul continues with his situation. He tells these brethren, and we want to move over to chapter 6 real quickly. And I want to pick up only one point. Chapter 6, verse 20. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, and high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, I hope you've tied some of these loops together. Because this is telling you that Christ did not volunteer, but he was called of God, and he was made a priest after the order of Melchizedek by God's decree. Okay? What qualified him to be a priest? The fact he was called of God. By the way, if you haven't got it figured out, God doesn't take orders from you and me. I want you to continue. He said, for this Melchizedek. This Melchizedek. And when I talk about the order now, we're talking about the man. This Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham, returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him. And blessed him. To whom also Abraham, gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Which is king of peace. I want you to recognize without the Lord Jesus Christ, you'd have no peace. And I also want you to recognize without him, you'd have no righteousness. Okay? And there's a world of difference between being innocent and being righteous. Okay? Now, I want to continue to look at this because he says, and here's where people get tripped up. Please don't lose me now. Don't let me lose you right now. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, being made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Ever been a man? Ever been a man on this earth that didn't have a father or a mother? One. Adam, the first Adam. God breathed in his nostril breath of life. He became a living soul without a father, without a mother. Okay? But hear me carefully. When the Levitical priesthood, and that's what those Hebrews were accustomed to, the Levitical priesthood was set apart. In order for you to be a priest, you must be of the tribe of Levi. Guess what? Your mother has to be of the tribe of Levi. Your daddy has to be of the tribe of Levi. You have to be at least 30 years of age. You serve in that office until you are 50 years of age. If you're not the tribe of Levi and you want to volunteer, you know what? Door's closed. You can't get there. But watch this carefully. Without father, without mother, without descent, he doesn't have the lineage. He doesn't have the lineage to be a priest. Well, then what qualified him to be a priest? The fact he was called of God. The fact he was called of God. I thank God that God rules among the nations. I have to tell you, I'm concerned about the moral, or perhaps I should say immoral, state of this nation in which we live today. I pray to God daily that He'd be merciful to us when I consider all the grievous sins that are accepted in this world today. And thank God that His mercies are renewed every day. He says, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God. Now, hey, if I didn't catch anything else, I caught that said He was made like unto the Son of God. It didn't say He was made the Son of God. He's made like unto the Son of God. Well, in what regard is He like unto the Son of God? Now, I will casually just say to you, I'll discuss with you Melchizedek a few hours later if you want to talk about it. On the other hand, my subject is not Melchizedek right now. My subject is the order of Melchizedek. Because I'm telling you that here comes Melchizedek, meets Abraham out of nowhere. But I want to now deal with the emphasis, as far as I'm concerned, to bring this matter to a conclusion. This man, the Lord Jesus Christ, made a priest after the order of Melchizedek. It's not just an accident that he spends 3.5 years in his own public ministry. And by the way, from the time that he was baptized, he was continually persecuted. He was continually sought after. His fame spread abroad. And while there were some that loved him, there were more that hated him and despised him. Even to the day when he finally died, thank God he's gone. But you know what? That stone which the builders rejected, they couldn't get rid of him. You see, they didn't realize they were dealing with indeed the eternal Son of God. God manifested in the flesh. Now, he spends all this 3.5 years with his disciples. And he comes to that last time he's with them. And he takes that unleavened bread, breaks it for them, blessed it, break it, and said to them, take, eat. This is my body. This is my body, which is broken for you. This Christ, after the order of Melchizedek, this Christ not only is going to make the sacrifice, but he is going to be the sacrifice. Because he is going to be unlike any sacrifice that has ever been made at any point in time, before or after. And there have been many Passover lambs slain past that time, and they all amounted to nothing. Because I want you to recognize this one. This one was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I want you to see why it's so important. And the thing I want you to recognize is, when he says, without father, without mother, without descent, without beginning of days, without end of life, yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And I want to say to you, he didn't just become a priest when he was raised from the dead. He's forever been a priest after the order of Melchizedek. From before time. I want you to recognize he was there in the garden when God made coats of skins, clothed them, pointing directly to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. This priest after the order of Melchizedek. We continue to read now. And I want to pick up something else quickly. If you recall back in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, when they were in the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem, and there were individuals who came and they wanted to participate in the work, but they could not produce their genealogy. They could not produce their genealogy. They were considered polluted and put from the priesthood and not allowed to participate in the work. Now hear me very carefully. That was a physical temple they built. That was a physical temple they built. But I thank God that the Lord has given us a temple that's higher than that. It's higher and better. How important is it then that we be blessed of God? You see, this is not something you volunteer for. This is something you're called into service. Okay? Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ took that bread and broke it, he also took wine and said, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the remission of sins." And those individuals took that. I wonder how long it took them. I want to say to you, come the day of Pentecost, I thank God in his glory opened their eyes to realize this man they'd walked with. This man whom John said, our eyes have seen. We've heard. We've handled with our hands the very word of life. I want you to recognize that then, in my opinion, they then understood what a wonderful experience they had had as they accompanied with him this man who was made a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, why do I stress and emphasize that? Because his daddy wasn't of the tribe of Levi. His mother was not of the tribe of Levi. They both happened to be of the tribe of Judah. And God spake nothing concerning priesthood in Judah. If he spake nothing concerning priesthood in Judah, then what qualified him to be a priest? The fact that God called him to be a priest. Okay? God called him to be a priest forever. When did he call him? When did he call him? Before the world was. Before the world was. When you talk about the office work of the Son of God, folks, you've got a magnanimous subject to get involved in. Okay? Now, I want you to recognize something else that's involved in the situation. Paul says of this man, he says, for such an high priest, such an high priest, who are we talking about? We're talking about Christ, a priest after the order of Melchizedek. For such an high priest became us. He became us, who is holy. Holy. How long take to get your and my corrupted, polluted mind wrapped around that word? Holy. Harmless. Made higher, separate from sinners. Made higher than the heavens. And he is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek by the power of an endless life. By the power of an endless life. I thank God that even if it were an accident, God saw fit to record in his little book this man Melchizedek that met Abram come from the slaughter of kings. I want to go back and deal with one issue as far as the Jews are concerned. Every Jew claims all their blessings, and not just the Jews, by the way. A lot of other folks claim their blessings through Abraham. All that I have is because of Abraham. Well, you know what? Everything we have is because of Abraham's seed. Okay? But those Jews who worshiped Abraham and pray and claim their inheritance because of them being descendants of Abraham, he says of Abraham, he says of this Melchizedek, now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. But the last part's what I want to get now. He said, and without all contradiction, there's no contradiction here. Without all contradiction, the less Abraham is blessed of the better. Of the better. I thank God that not only did Melchizedek meet Abram when he was returning from the slaughter of the kings and gave him bread and wine, but I thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ, the priest after the order of Melchizedek, brought bread and wine himself. And we have the privilege from time to time to sit in his house and remember his death and rejoice in the hope of the resurrection when your high priest and my high priest will come back as not just our high priest, but as the judge of the whole earth. And he will judge the world in righteousness. And he will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. May God bless you. Come ahead, Brother Randy.